Hello and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You can't beat the scran down at Marcos. I'm Colin Byers, and with me, as usual, fresh from his holiday, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Hello.
Right, this week we'll be looking back on a win against Dumbarton, have a look at a busy week down at Balmoor, and look ahead to the trip to Montrose. So Martin, it ended up being quite a busy week down at Balmoor. Two signings, a win, and a new captain appointed.
Yeah, busy week for Jim McAnally and Martin Johnson at Balmoor.
It was busy all around, and we'll touch on a few of those points as we go through. But we're going to start with a win at last to talk about the game against Dumbarton. Few changes, there had to be a few changes obviously. Five changes in total, with McAllister and Dunlop no longer at the club. Edie was also dropped. Ferguson suspended and Armour dropped to the bench, which meant Jason Brown came back in again, Ryan Conroy came back in, Paddy Boyle was back for his injury, and the two new signings, Cook and Boyd, also started. So it was a slight change in his tactics as well for this game. He seemed to go 4-4-2. It was a much more positive kind of formation rather than his usual 4-1-4-1.
Yeah, we've been at times critical of the one striker, just the one guy up top leading the line. So it was quite refreshing. As you said, there was five changes to see, a couple of new faces in the team, but also the change in tactics as well, going with the two up top.
It was 4-4-2. Stevenson, obviously, back to his normal right-back position, so it was a more comfortable back four. Ferguson's been doing okay, but I think playing at left back last week did Stevenson any favours. Paddy Boyle obviously gives you a bit more stability down that left. The only criticism is that Ryan Conroy was playing again on the right hand side, and we're not being critical because Ryan Conroy was playing, it's just critical of where he's playing, and on that right hand side, which we've said on numerous occasions already, he does drift inside and he leaves his right back exposed on numerous occasions, and he did that again on Saturday. He just gets too congested in the midfield.
Yeah, he took the words out of me there, it's too congested. He is naturally a left footed player, so naturally he would like to come into the middle of the park and use that left foot. As you said, when he does come into the middle of the park, the right back, he's trying to cover a lot of ground on that right hand side to give you a bit of width, and it does get congested in the middle. So if we can get somebody on that right hand side naturally right footed, then it'll give us a better chance with the width in the team.
Well, window shots on Friday, so hopefully that's maybe the last piece of business that Jim's looking at. But all in all, first half was pretty much, I wouldn't say it was a known event, it didn't really sort of spark into life as such. Dumbarton had a couple of early chances, a couple of saves from Fleming, but they were pretty comfortable saves. They did, however, come from our midfield sort of opening up like the Red Sea as such.
They did
look a bit overawed for the first sort of 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, which is quite unusual because we normally praise the three guys in midfield. They did a really good job, but on this occasion, the first half against Dumbarton, it did seem to part. There's a couple of occasions there Dumbarton midfield's able to get through and, you know, basically go on a post for 10, 15 yards and then get a shot away or play a good ball out wide. So slightly disappointing on that basis.
I think the problem being is that because Brown and Leach are so attack-minded, Brown obviously is a bit more box-to-box, but they're both quite attack-minded, so they want to get forward as much as possible. So you miss just that one out of the three just sitting.
Miss out protection.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what well, obviously, again, because there was a change in tactics, it probably took them a few minutes just to kind of get settled, having played the same formation most of the season. Lyle had a couple of good headers. I say good headers, he had a couple of good chances. One probably he should have done a little bit better than the other. But again, it's about getting crosses in.
Yeah,
And getting men in the box and those chances that he'll probably take again.
Yeah, I think he'd a bit more time. There's the two defenders he's got in between for the second header, the one that's gone wide, maybe slightly critical, maybe felt it gives him a bit better. It's a couple of yards out. If he gets a good contact on that, you know, it's in the back of the net all day long. Looking back at it, he maybe feels he could have done better as well.
Yeah. And Stephen Boyd had a chance as well with a a speculative chip, should we say, from about 18, 20 yards. But I guess it probably shows his talent a little bit, because it would be quite easy for him just to drive a shot in from that kind of distance and blaze it over. But he's obviously got a quick mind, he's quick thinking, football brain, as they say.
Yeah.
And went for something different. If he'd gone in, we'd have been praising that all year.
He's got that vision. I think we've been lacking that. Somebody can do something different. You know, we expected the ball to either go wide or a shot, but he's tried something different, and credit to him for doing it.
So the first half was, as I say, wouldn't you say it was a non-event as such, but we had quite a lot of possession, knocked it about quite a bit without really creating much, which is...
It's been a much, pattern.
Aye, it kind of summed up most of the season. It looked good in possession, everybody looked comfortable, defence looked comfortable, but without... you know, causing them too much problems. Second half, though, however, that was slightly different, and much from the kick-off, the tempo was changed. They seemed to be quicker. They were closing down the Dumbarton players much quicker as well. So the tempo was raised, and you could see the difference in the performance. Dumbarton really couldn't cope with it.
Yeah, they maybe, like you said a couple of minutes ago, they maybe settled into the formation a wee bit better. Jim's maybe given a wee bit of tactical knowledge at half time, but the players themselves maybe realise it's a big game to get the 3 points in. You know, we've spoken before in the last couple of games, the Falkirk and Raith, we're not expecting results out of them, but performance has got to be better. It was a good performance in the second half, and with that, the tempo being up, we've gotten the result from it as well.
And the chances came quite more frequently. That spot out. There was things like Stevenson's cross come short, saved by the keeper. So there's little things like that that may go our way, but one thing that did go our way this time, we did get a penalty. And I don't think there's any arguments about the penalty. I think it is pretty much a stonewaller. Nobody really could have any complaints about it, really.
No, our referee's only a couple of yards away as well, so he was pretty quick to give it.
The only thing was, of course, we didn't score it. Lyle.
It wasn't his day, was it?
No, it really wasn't.
A couple of good headers in the first half, and then he's missed a penalty as well.
I think that penalty would probably look better doing it at Murrayfield than it did at Balmour. I think it's still travelling. It just quite completely wrong. And at that stage, you're kind of thinking, oh, here we go. This is typical Peterhead. Have all these chances, have all this possession, but we're still going to lose the game. But credit to them, they stuck in and kept going, and lo and behold, about 5-10 minutes to go, we get a late winner.
Yeah, we got the reward for what you said as earlier on was a good second half, and thankfully that came in the form of a good finish by Ben Armour.
And the pleasing thing about the goal was it was well worked. And by that I mean there was a few sort of two touches, knocking about the 18 yard box. It was eventually going wide to Boyle, and from there his cross kind of caused a problem or two.
Yeah, Ben Armour also was playing the two up top. Naturally, he's more, if there only is a one up top, he'd be more out in the wing. He's come in inside. It's a shot. Keeper's made a good save, to be fair. He could have maybe palmed that away slightly further, but the reaction of Ben Armour is good as well. He's the first player in there ahead of the defenders. He's almost on the hop from the shot's taken anyway. He's anticipating something that could happen, and he's gotten his reward for his performance with the goal.
He reacted much quicker than anybody else did, and you watch the Barton defenders. They're berating the goalkeeper, but they're actually standing flat-footed. They're watching what's happening. Whereas if they'd reacted as well, Armour wouldn't have gotten the time he had to knock it in.
But I didn't think it was a bad save. Yeah, okay, in hindsight, he could probably have pushed it further wide, but he's done his bit, he's saved it, and he's looking for his defenders to try and bail him out. They've got to be switched on as well. Yeah. Thankfully for us, they weren't.
And really pleased it way that Armour scored, because we've been saying for a few weeks that he does a lot of sort of the, shall we say, the donkey work. It doesn't seem to be getting the praise as such, but there is a player there, and I think something like that might just spark something in him.
I think when being a young lad, he's got to be the sort of person, maybe he's gotten a goal now, it could really spur him on for the second half of the season. He's got that confidence behind him,
yeah.
You know, a winning goal as well. Mm-hmm. That'll give him the confidence for the rest of the season.
The only thing is, soon after that, he came off injured, looks like a hamstring. He chased every ball when he came on. And Jim has said in his press after that he even chased the reason why he got injured was because he chased a ball that he didn't necessarily need to chase. But I think it showed a different side to Ben when he was because he was playing up front, and I think he enjoyed that role much more than actually being put out to the wing.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably why he was chasing everything, because he seemed to be it looked as though like. The shackles had been taken off him as such, and he was allowed to go and do what he wanted to do. There's a bit of a mere freedom about him. Whether or not that's got to do with certain people no longer being at the club or whatever, but he did seem to be a different kind of person. And if that's the Ben Arbour we're going to get for the rest of the season, I'm all for it. Like,
I think Ben sees an opportunity here as well. You know, the fact that McAllister's left, that chapter's closed. Lyle's at an age where he's now going to be playing every week. So Ben can see an opportunity. If Jim McAnally is going to play it two up top, then he is one of the prime candidates to start every game. If he's going to put in performances like he did on Saturday, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and the fact that he partnered Boyd for the last, it should have been the last sort of 15, 20 minutes, obviously it didn't end up being like that, but I think that's a decent looking partnership. But talking to Stephen Boyd, I mean, he looks a player and a half. He just looked phenomenal. He just ran the show up front, and I don't think Dumbarton could really cope with him too much. He's got a spark about him.
Yeah, they sort of struggled with his movement.
Yeah.
Throughout the game, like we said earlier, he's got a vision to try something different. And as a defender, I think they were slightly nervous when he got the bar, when he was running about and in the attacks of Fitty Kundi.
He's one of that. I think he's one of that kind of players that's got a good football brain, and he's got a quick feet with him as well. So that if defenders get anywhere near him, he's going to be half a yard quicker.
Aye, he's a step ahead.
Yeah, and that's going to cause problems for a lot of defenders. So please, we picked him up. Cook as well. He made his debut Saturday as well. Didn't really do much wrong. He didn't really do much at all, really, in the game. He kind of eased into it. The only thing, if you watch the highlights, they didn't show was him giving the ball away pretty early on in the first half, which was a pretty poor introduction, as he's giving the ball away to the edge of his own box. Luckily, obviously, Dumbarton didn't score for it. But from then on, he didn't really do too much wrong.
It was a steady, if not spectacular, yeah. Start.
I think probably Boyd maybe stole the limelight. I think Boyd's probably going to steal the limelight for the rest of the season. But what we saw of Cook, I think there's more to come from him. You would like to think there's more to come from him.
I think the signings that Jim's got in will certainly push us forward. Rather, us, you know, we'll be looking ahead rather than looking below and worrying. Now that we've got, I think looks like we've got a better balance within the team. You know, these guys coming in, so I'm looking forward to the second half of the season.
And if he's going to continue with the 4-4-2 as well, I think we can cope with that formation now, rather than having similar styles forwards. Yeah. We've got different type forwards now. Whereas you've got Lyle, who's a target man. You can now get Boyd and Armour, who can run off him. I would be surprised if we didn't see Smith more of a central role now as well, now that Cook's in, because he's obviously going to be playing left wing more often.
Maybe Jim wanted to play 4-4-2 for a while. He's maybe just felt he hasn't had the personnel capable of doing it, which is why, you know, we have seen him tinkering about quite a few times. He's maybe just, he's found the formation he's wanted now. He's gotten a couple of players on board as well, so hopefully it could be a good partnership.
And I still think maybe right wing is the problem position, if you want to call it that. As I've said, Conroy was on the right wing. It's not his natural position. I would still like to get somebody in. However, having said that, if everybody is fit, maybe Stevenson would be playing there and Ferguson would be playing right back rather than Stevenson playing at right back as he did on Saturday. So there's an argument for that, but it's difficult to try. It's, you know, you kind of compensate for, or you kind of think of the worst case scenarios as such, because it seems to be you've either got one or the other playing.
Yeah,
you want to be one suspended or one's injured or whatever. But yeah, we'll see what happens at the end of the on Friday. The window closes on the 31st, so he might bring in somebody else in.
We'll be keeping our eyes peeled in case there's anything peeled, on the go.
See what happens. But other bit of business, I guess, they did on Saturday as well, was confirmed that the new captain was going to be Scott Brown, not of Celtic fame, but our own Scott Brown. He was officially named as the new captain. Pleased with that appointment?
Yes, like I said last week, he was one of the players that initially sprung to mind, but I'm sure he'll do a very good job for us.
I think he will. I don't think he's going to be, dare I say, a shouty bally kind of captain. He's not going to be shouting and raging at people all the time, but I think what he will be is a leader, and by that, and lead by example kind of guy. So, like, for example, if we're struggling for a goal, we need a goal, he's going to take the game by the scruff of the neck and say, right, let's go, and players will react to that.
Yeah, we've rather seen
than rather than just sort of going, oh well, whatever. But if he's chasing every ball, everybody else will start doing it as well. And if they're nae, somebody will maybe say something. Whereas can somebody that just shouts and balls, maybe doesn't get the same.
They get the same reaction for the players if I got the other time. Yeah, but we've said before that Scott's one of them players. If the team's struggling in midfield, he seems to be the driving force at times to get them going or break up attacks or start attacks. So yeah, I'm looking forward to Scott being the new captain.
And there are plenty of other leaders, vocal leaders, as we've said before. So between them all, it seems to be a bit more of a positive second half. We're looking forward to a more positive second half than maybe we were a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think we've done good transfer business so far. We've gotten with a bad week with the Rory McAllister situation, we're not getting anywhere out of that again. Simon Ferry signed a new contract. Scott Brown's worth a new captain. Good transfer, a good second half performance against Dumbarton with a win as well. You know, positive second half of the season, looking up the table rather than below.
Yeah, because the gap between us and in fourth were now has obviously increased as well. And the gap actually between us and East Fife in fourth is only 8 points. So in this league, that is not a lot.
Yeah, we've said before, everybody can beat everybody. Aye. So if you we've seen it with Montrose. If you can put a couple of games, a run together, you can certainly propel yourself up the league.
And I think we're starting to see Falkirk and Raith and probably Arbroath just starting to pull away from everybody else. So, you know, if we're going to go for a playoff spot, it maybe is just sneaking into fourth. I'd rather do that than miss out again completely. Yeah. But you never know, as I said, as things kind of string along, we might get more points on the board. You mentioned there Simon Ferry. He's got his new contract. That was obviously talked about last week as well. It was confirmed he is now in a coaching role as well as getting his new contract. So good move for all, I think, there.
Oh, yeah, no brainer. I think it was probably what Jim wanted going forward with a coaching role. I think we've spoken about it before. Everybody sees Simon going forward to, you know, doing something coaching wise, especially at Peterhead. So yeah, great business.
And obviously, once you know the David McCracken kind of situation settled itself, down, there was one or two prime candidates. Simon was probably one of those. Still a relatively young man, so hopefully this means that we can see him seeing out the rest of his career here, unless obviously some dramatic happens, you never know.
Never know, Cove might come in and throw some money.
Well, I wasn't going to mention that, but okay. So hopefully that's him locked down for, which we hope for the remainder of his career, and see where it takes him. I definitely see a future in the coaching for him. possibly management as well. If Jim, I think Jim's probably the kind of guy who sees things long term.
Yeah.
And can see, and obviously will help any player that wants to go on to that. So I'm quite happy with that. So we'll see what kind of magic he's going to come up with in the training sessions that he's going to be doing. It does say he's going to help with the coaching. Doesn't necessarily mean that
he'll be doing it. Yeah,
he just might be putting the cones out and stuff like that. You never know. It's just, but I'm quite sure he'll be into that as his role goes on. But all in all, yeah, I think Saturday's result, the two signings last week, there is a more positive kind of vibe.
Absolutely.
Going about the club. Because as I said a couple of weeks ago, we were kind of, it was all kind of doom and gloom, and we're a bit, here we go. We've lost our best player as such. But as I said, everything seems to be.
Yeah, a week's a long time in football.
It is extremely long, aye. It can be. So we'll have a look, look forward to our next game. We're looking at getting more points on the board. We spoke about the three games we had coming up, Dumbarton and then Montrose and then Forfar were going to be key games. We've had one win so far out of that, the first one. It's going to be a tricky one down there again, but you never know. Montrose are one of those teams, like most of the teams in the league, are a bit hit and miss. Either they win or they lose kind of thing. But I think we can get someone out of the game, definitely.
Yeah, we didn't play that great against them when we were up at Balmoor. Sorry, when they were up, I should say. So if they play that similar sort of game, then I fancy our chances doing there.
Since we drew 0-0 with them in our last game, they've played 8, they've won 4 and lost 4, which pretty much sums up.
Consistently inconsistent, yeah, you could say.
It's how everybody else in this league are. They scored 15 out of those 8 games and they've conceded 13. Obviously, we'd guaranteed goals, but the last time it was nil-nil. So you just didn't get what you're going to get. Significance from them in the transfer window so far is the young Blair Lyons is signed for Partick Thistle, but he's come back to Montrose on loan. It's obviously an exciting young talent that they're losing, but he's going to be there for the remainder of the season. I guess him and Webster would be the two guys to keep an eye out for on Saturday, as usual.
Yeah, they're key players from Montrose. They proved that last time. You know, we're down there from got beat 4-3. They are key players and they've proved that in Montrose's season so far.
Webster seems to like a goal against this, so we need to kind of keep an eye on him. But again, now that we've got, a settled back four, I mean, that seems to be the back four. And as I said last week, I didn't think the changes that he made for the Falkirk game really helped anybody at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got Hooper, we've got Brown back in again. So, this should be okay against those two. Referee we haven't had before, Graham Beaton. Not sure if it's a relation to
John Beaton.
If it's a relation to anybody else, or if he referees like him, but we'll wait and see on Saturday. Because the Beatons aren't just the most popular referees.
No.
When I read that, I thought, oh no, here we go. It must be a relation.
I would assume it would be.
I would assume it would be. Never know.
Maybe just unfortunate last name for not being a referee in Scotland.
Seems a bit coincidental. But hey-ho. So that's the referee. So we haven't had him this season yet, so we'll see what he does. I think, I'm pretty positive that we're going to go into that. I would hope that he sticks with the 4-4-2 as well. I know maybe Armour might be struggling with his hamstring and that, but this is a team that we're still waiting for Smith to come back and Simon Ferrick to come back from his suspension as well. So there's plenty of options there from Gary Fraser. Was on the bench again, so he's just not quite fully fit yet. But I'm hoping that he's going to stick with the 4-4-2. And sees that as
the formation going forward.
He might maybe change it if it's like this one because it is away from home. He might be a little bit more cautious, but I still think he can play 4-4-2 and still be a little bit more and still be cautious as such. Just have one of your front two just dropping in a little bit.
See, you're saying be cautious, but as we've just said, everybody can beat everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd like us to go down there, rather than sitting back and hoping to get something on the counter, go and take the game from Montrose and see what they can do. Because they're the home team. You'd think they'd be under more pressure to win than we would be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, go down there, 4-4-2, and, you know, attack from the off.
They have conceded goals, they have scored goals, so yeah, why not just go for it? Lost last week 4-3 to Raith Rovers, having won the week previously against East Fife, and they beat Forfar the week before. So
so they do ship a lot of goals.
They will
as well.
Ship goals, yeah, and they're shipping goals to teams that, okay, maybe Raith's maybe not the best example, but Forfar, for example, are struggling at the minute. So yeah, why not just go down there and try and, I'm going to say, go all attack, but yeah, take a game to them. And
you know, you could sit back and lose 1-0, 2-0 or whatever, but you can go and try and win the game, and if you lose, at least you've come off the park, or you're coming away for the game thinking, well, at least we've had a go, you know, we've tried to win the game.
Yeah, and I think what the second half of Saturday's game shows, that if we do up this tempo, we do get our passing game going, we could turn out a few heads, and we can probably beat anybody on our day. But we just have to be, the confidence needs to be there, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going away from home.
Yeah.
To places like this, you have to have the confidence to go there. But yeah, I'd like to think that we're going to get something out of the game. A draw, I mean, I would probably take a draw as well at the same time, depending on how the other results go. But I would, yeah, you're more hopeful to come away with a win.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that we can go down there and win the game. Like you said, if come 10-5 on Saturday we've gotten a point, it's probably not the worst result in the division.
Because at one point, towards, or before the game was finished actually, Clyde were only drawing and they got a late winner. So we would have been above them had it not had that the result going our way. But every other result, it did seem to go our way. On Saturday, you know, we beat Dumbarton, so we closed the gap on them. Forfar didn't win, Stranraer didn't win, so we increased the gap on them. So just little things like that. Now
things like that
are starting to kind of go our way. And it's been a long time coming. We waited a long time for us to go our way.
Yeah, I think we're speaking about this in like September, October time. We just felt everything was against us. When we played Montrose doing their last time, every shot they took seemed to be a worldy goal flying in the top corner. So maybe now things are starting to even themselves out. And we got a penalty on Saturday.
And we got a penalty. But
we got one.
But we got it. We didn't score it. Aye. Maybe something that Simon Ferry might be working on in the new coaching role. Penalty taker. Your prediction for the game on Saturday then?
I'd be happy with a draw, so I'd probably take a 1-1.
Okay.
But obviously, naturally, you want to win the game. But if you came out with a 1-1 draw, it'd be a good result.
I'll go one step further and say 2-1 period, just to get that win. Because as I said, they're shipping goals.
Yeah.
We're not exactly banging them in either, but I just think now with Boyd there, I think there's something special there for the rest of the season. I think we're definitely going to benefit for his abilities, shall we say.
Yeah, he looks a very good player.
Yeah, he looks a stunning player. I think he's a great bit of business. As I said, hopefully we'll see more faces coming in before Friday, but we'll talk about that a bit more next week. So 1-1 and 2-1 is the two predictions, so we'll see what happens. But that'll do us for another week, another Blue Team podcast. My thanks to Martin for joining me as usual. Our thanks go to our sponsors Marco Chipper, and for you guys for listening as always. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon. Cheers. Bye.